Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello and welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Thanks for being here on this Monday, when we're going to begin a whole new series with Derek Prince on progress to perfection. Have you ever heard that statement in the scriptures, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect? Well, how do you do that? How are you as perfect as God is perfect? That sounds impossible. But you know what? The Greek word perfect doesn't mean without flaw. What it means is suited to a purpose. And so Derek Prince is going to be talking to us about how to be suited to our purpose, about how to be perfect, how to walk in holiness, how to walk in the things of God in a way that fulfills what we were made for. This is going to be wonderful. Now, you're going to want to have a notepad and a pencil, be ready to write these things down. And if you miss any of this series or you want to listen to it time and again, as we really should when we're trying to get the Word of God into our lives, you want to log on to DerekPrince.org and you'll find this teaching. You can listen to it as often as you want, and you'll also find a lot of other great material. So today now, Derek's going to begin by helping us to understand how we can be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. Let's listen now as Derek teaches us.
Progress to perfection. This title brings out two important points about the Christian life. First, there is a goal for us to attain to. Second, there are definite steps that we have to take in order to attain to our goal. I want to emphasize the importance of having an aim in life. So many people merely drift through life. They're like ships without rudders and without anchors. They're at the mercy of every wind and current that comes into their lives. They're carried hither and thither. They have no stability, no fixed destination. And frequently, such lives end in shipwreck. I remember saying to somebody once, if you aim at nothing, you can be sure you'll hit it. We must have an aim in life. In the Christian life, there are two main kinds of goal. The first is the goal of external accomplishment, what we do for God. This is important, but it's not sufficient by itself. The second is the goal of internal development, what we become in God. Sometimes we become so occupied with the external that we lose sight of the internal. We may have our mind set on many good things, such as witnessing, distributing tracts, increasing church membership, raising money for the kingdom of God. All these things in themselves may be good, but if we concentrate on them at the expense of our own internal personal development, the result is tension and disharmony, tension between what we're doing and what we are. And often our character negates the effects of our activity. People don't merely look at what we say or what we do, they look at what we are. And if we are not in harmony with what we do, then people conclude that we really don't have something real to offer them. We're just giving them labels, but we're not able to produce in our own lives. So it's very important that we remember the goal of internal development. And this is what I'm going to be speaking to you about all this week. I want to set before you a specific goal, one that was set before all of us by Jesus. This goal is summed up in one all-embracing word, perfect. Let's look at what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect. You see, that's a clear, positive command. Be perfect. Simple, straightforward. So many people are scared by that word perfect. Sometimes they associate it with some kind of unrealistic teaching. Sometimes the phrase used is sinless perfection. Believe me, Jesus is not talking about something unreal and unattainable. The whole Christian life is very real and very practical. Jesus is setting before us a practical goal, which, by the grace of God, can be attained. And we have no right to bring God's standards down to the level of our ability. We have to trust God to raise the level of our ability up to His standards. And that's His standard. Be perfect. And furthermore, the standard of perfection is again stated very clearly. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So the standard is God the Father. We are to be as perfect as our Father. We need to look into the meaning of this word perfect. It has various meanings. It can sometimes be translated mature, fully developed. It can sometimes be translated complete, that is, not lacking in any respect. However, when we take God the Father as the standard, it is not sufficient to translate it be mature or be complete. We have to accept it in its fullest meaning, be perfect. As I've said, this often frightens people, but I'd like to use a little simple example from mathematics. Let's take the use of the word round. There's only one standard for round. A thing is either round or it's not round. And if a thing is round, it's a circle. And just one kind of circle. There's not three or four different kinds of circles. However, there are many different sizes of circles. Now, God the Father is the great circle, the measureless circle that encompasses the whole universe. Jesus doesn't expect us to have the same magnitude as God, but He does expect us to have the same character as God. You and I may be very tiny little circles, just in some small area where God has placed us, with apparently trivial, humdrum duties. You might be a housewife. I might be a bus driver. But in each in our own little area, God wants us to be a perfect circle there, perfectly round, just as round as that great circle, which is God the Father, which encompasses the whole universe. So think of it, when Jesus says be perfect, think of it in terms of be round. Don't be lopsided. Don't have little bulges. Don't have deficiencies. You may not be very big, but you can be a perfect circle. The example that Jesus gives us of perfection in God the Father makes it clear that perfection is related primarily to attitudes and to relationships. For instance, in speaking about God the Father, Jesus says, God is good to the evil, to the good. He sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. In other words, God's character is not in any way changed or affected by those He relates to. Whether He relates to the evil or to the good, to the righteous or to the unrighteous, He's always perfect. He's always completely round. You see, this is very important. If we're God's sons in this world, we cannot let the way people treat us change what God has done in us. In other words, the way people treat you must not be allowed to take the initiative in your life. No matter how wrongly people may treat you, you've still got to demonstrate the character of a child of God to them.
Boy, Derek has said something really powerful in this first section. He says that really we have to focus on two main goals: our external accomplishment, what we do for God, and our internal development, what we become in God. And I have to tell you that far too many Christians are more focused on their external accomplishment than they are on their internal development. Who we are is more important to God than what we do. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
Contrary to what religious tradition and the enemy of your soul have tried to tell you, God wants you to have a life that is filled with meaning, blessing, purpose, and peace. Such a life is God's highest and best for you. The problem is that all too often, Christians don't know how to walk in the life that their Heavenly Father wants for them. That's why Derek Prince's powerful book called Receiving God's Best is so important. In Receiving God's Best, Derek Prince paints a clear and practical picture of that life, of meaning, blessing, and purpose. And with it, you'll find out how to experience that truly wonderful life for yourself. All this week, you have the opportunity to receive a copy, absolutely free and postage paid, as our way of saying thank you for listening. To receive your own free copy of Derek's book, Receiving God's Best, simply ask for it when you call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Find out how to receive God's best into your life. Call now, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or request your free copy of Receiving God's Best when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. I hope you were with us in the first part of our program today, as Derek has begun teaching us on the theme of progress to perfection. Of course, he's redefining what perfection means. It doesn't mean to be without flaw. It means to be suited to a purpose. And one of the great themes of Derek Prince's life is that life is about a relationship. And he's about to talk to us, Derek is, about our relationship with Jesus and knowing him so we can fulfill what we were made to be. Let's listen.
Now, Jesus stated very simply and exactly a practical goal, the goal for the Christian life. Be perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. So that's the goal. We can't choose. The decision has been made for us. We can only decide whether we will obey or whether we'll ignore the requirement of Jesus. I pointed out that many people are afraid of that word perfect, but really it's a simple, practical word. It includes the meanings of mature and complete, but it goes beyond that. I illustrated it from the example of the word round. A thing is either round or it's not round. But on the other hand, there are circles of many different sizes. God the Father is the great, perfect circle that encompasses the whole universe. You and I are not circles of anything like that magnitude. But in our own small and humble way, each of us, wherever God has placed us, can be just a completely round circle. In other words, perfect. I also pointed out that perfection, as Jesus describes it, relates primarily to attitudes and relationships. It means that we don't let other people's attitudes change us from what God wants us to be. Today we're going to look at the example of a man in the New Testament who took this command very seriously. That man is the Apostle Paul. His example will provide us with both encouragement and a challenge. I'm going to read to you Paul's own statement of his life purpose and aim, as it's found in Philippians 3, verses 10 through 15. And I want you to notice how very definitely Paul has an aim. There's nothing haphazard or accidental in his life. This is what he says concerning his relationship to Jesus, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. First of all, I want to point out, which you may already have noticed, that in that passage Paul uses the word perfect in two slightly different meanings. First of all, he says, not that I am already perfect. And then at the end he says, let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. Well, that is a thing that can be easily explained. Let's take the example of an apple as it grows on the tree. At a certain stage in its growth, it's just a small, hard, round, green ball. It's not perfect in the sense that it hasn't reached maturity, it isn't complete, but at that time it can be perfect in the sense that there are no flaws, nothing unhealthy in it. Well, that's how it is with you and me. We haven't arrived. We're not there. There's much more ahead of us. We're not mature. But on the other hand, as far as we've come, in the particular stage of our growth that we find ourselves in at any given moment, we can be perfect, like that little round green ball of the apple on the branch, in the sense that there's nothing in us that's unpleasing to God, nothing that's contrary to the purposes of God, nothing that we've withheld from God. We're open before God. He's free to do whatever he wills in any area of our lives. We're perfect like the little green apple, but we're not perfect like the mature, full-grown apple. So Paul says, I'm perfect in the sense that my life is totally open and yielded to God. I'm not resisting God or disobeying God. But he says, in the other sense, I haven't arrived at God's final plan for me. So we see the two uses of the word perfect. Now, looking at Paul's whole statement of his motive and purpose in life, we see that he was a man with real purpose, with a real objective. He said, I forget the things that are behind. And that's important. If you want to advance, you have to forget some things. You have to forget some of your successes and some of your failures. Because turning around and thinking about them all the time will hinder you from moving on. And God gives us the grace to forget. I've met many people who were hindered in the Christian life by the memory of some failure in the past. Learn to forget, not just your failures, but your successes. Remember, there's more ahead. The essence of Paul's whole attitude and relationship to God, I think, could be summed up in this phrase, wholehearted commitment to God. So in that sense, he was perfect, like the little green, small, undeveloped apple. He was perfect in the sense that every part of his life was open to God, yielded to God. He was willing to obey God. He had no reservations. He was holding nothing back, but he hadn't arrived. So there's an example for us in the life of one of the great men of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, a challenge to us.
You know, thank God for the definition of words and the way that clearing up meaning can help us in our Christian lives. God is not putting upon us some heavy burden that we be without flaw at all. He knows that's not the case. He knows that we're fallen creatures. Instead, he's calling us to be mature and complete, suited to the purpose he has for our lives. That's what it means to be perfect. There's more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Contrary to what religious tradition and the enemy of your soul have tried to tell you, God wants you to have a life that is filled with meaning, blessing, purpose, and peace. Such a life is God's highest and best for you. The problem is that all too often, Christians don't know how to walk in the life that their Heavenly Father wants for them. That's why Derek Prince's powerful book called Receiving God's Best is so important. In Receiving God's Best, Derek Prince paints a clear and practical picture of that life, of meaning, blessing, and purpose. And with it, you'll find out how to experience that truly wonderful life for yourself. All this week, you have the opportunity to receive a copy, absolutely free and postage paid, as our way of saying thank you for listening. To receive your own free copy of Derek's book, Receiving God's Best, simply ask for it when you call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Find out how to receive God's best into your life. Call now, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or request your free copy of Receiving God's Best when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. I hope you've been with us all day as we've begun this wonderful series on perfection and progress to perfection. But thank God we've redefined perfection. So it doesn't mean being without flaw. It means to be suited to a purpose. In fact, God said to Abraham, walk before me blamelessly. Wow. To be able to do that is a marvelous thing, but something God has called us to do. Let's listen as Derek explains this.
Now I want to look at the example of another great servant of God from the Old Testament, Abraham. I want to read to you the words that the Lord spoke to Abraham at a certain point in his spiritual development. They're found in Genesis 17, verse 1. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. Now, the word blameless is also translated perfect. It's just like the little round green apple we've been talking about. There's nothing in it that isn't good, that isn't sound. You see, as a matter of fact, if there's anything in that little green apple that's unsound, in its final growth, it will never achieve perfection in the fullest sense. And so this is our response to God's almightiness. God said to Abraham, I'm Almighty God, I can do anything. What about your attitude to me? If you'll be perfect, if you'll be totally open and yielded and surrendered and obedient, then I'll take you where I want you to be. I'll get you to your destination. And that's not true only of Abraham, it's true of you and me as well. I'd like to turn back to Philippians again and read some words that Paul wrote in the second chapter, verses 12 through 15. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe. I want you to notice two main points there. First of all, Paul says, work out your salvation, for it is God who works in you. That's important. God works in us only in the proportion that we work out. It's like pouring water through a funnel. Only if the water goes out the bottom can you continue to pour more water in at the top. But if there's a stoppage in the funnel, then you have to stop pouring water in. Well, that's like God with us. God works in us insofar as we work out. But if we cease to work out, God has to cease to work in. And then notice the objective or the goal which Paul sets before these believers, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault. Again, that's perfection, isn't it? Blameless, pure, without fault. You see, it's a practical, attainable objective which God sets before us. And I think the key to it is found in what Paul says in verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, as long as we always obey God and the messengers of God that he sends to us, we can be sure that God will work out perfection in us.
You know, there's a scripture that brings great comfort to me as I think about what Derek is teaching. It's that passage in Romans 8 that says we are destined to be conformed to the image of Jesus. You know, if all God did was set up the image of Jesus before us and said, okay, now become this, it would be impossible. I mean, we're flawed. We're sinners. We can't reach the goal. We can't attain that kind of perfection. But when the Bible tells us that we're destined to be conformed, that means that God has set processes in motion, that he has sent the Holy Spirit, that he is working in us to make that progress to perfection. We are called to maturity. We are called to completion. We're not simply called to look longingly at the image of Jesus, wishing that we could one day, maybe in heaven, attain some small portion of that. Jesus is what we are destined to be like. And I'm thankful for Derek's teaching because it takes a lot of the mystery and the confusion out of something that's been very, very hard to understand. Listen, you're going to want to listen to this teaching over and again at derekprince.org, where you can listen to it as often as you want. But remember, you've got to listen to a teaching at least 7 times before you even hear every word. And that's how we embed the truth in our souls. Well, that's all the time we have for now. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
Take a moment now to request your copy of Derek's book, Receiving God's Best, available to Derek Prince Legacy Radio listeners absolutely free. Call 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The book and the phone call are both free. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can request your free copy securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.